give us this day is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson appointed for the morning office from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These devotionals are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Tyler, Texas. Father Charles' devotionals can be found both in print and online.
Today is Tuesday of the ninth Sunday after Trinity. The lesson is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 14.
And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Have you ever had someone nag you into action? The person coaxes, wheedles, cajoles, begs, nags, pleads, and whines until you finally give and do what he or she wants you to do. This is one motivation for a person doing what another person asks him to do. But if the person being nagged eventually honors the request of the other because of the nagging, how much more will God, our loving Father, honor our request? This is the attitude we must always remember when we pray to God. The problem we face in prayer is that prayers, from our perspective, often don't get answered. Think about the implications of this statement for a moment. My prayer is not getting answered. God didn't answer my prayer. There are only a few possible ways to explain this state of affairs. It may be that God is deaf and just can't hear your request. It may be that God hears but doesn't care. And it may be that God both hears and cares but doesn't have the ability to do anything about it. All three of these are logical possibilities, and all three are wrong from everything we know about our God, who hears, loves, and is all-powerful. Oh yes, there is one other possibility. I really hate to bring it up, but as Sherlock Holmes once said, when you have excluded the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. The other possibility is that God indeed hears and answers our prayers, but that he does so in a way that we aren't willing or able to receive. God is a loving Father who often says no, not because he is an ogre, but precisely because he desires what is best for you. Even as an imperfect human father, I know that there are times when I must say no to my children so that they are kept from danger and from hurting themselves or others, so that they don't become proud or ungrateful, and so that they do become patient and thankful for what they receive. Even when we acknowledge this, God's apparent delay in answering our prayers can be mysteriously discouraging. But the whole point of Jesus' parable in Luke 18:1-8 is that we should learn to pray and not lose heart. It appears that two of the chief things God desires for his children to learn through prayer are faith and patience. We learn faith through prayer because we trust the giver of all good things and not just for his gifts. We know that like children, we don't always know what is best for us, and so when God gives us something different than what we asked for, or doesn't give us what we asked for, we trust him that his reasons are good. It brings to life the daily prayer, Thy will be done, and not mine, on earth as it is in heaven. Apparently Jesus thought that perseverance in prayer had a lot to do with faith as well, because at the end of the passage in verse 8 he says, Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Without tying this verse back to the point about prayer, it's one of the sayings of Jesus that don't seem to make sense. We also learn patience through prayer. The goal of this parable was that we might not lose heart in prayer, because that is just what happens when we think that our prayers are not being answered. Verse 7 is a little obscure, but seems to mean that God is patient or long-suffering. That's the literal translation of the word in Greek, with us. That certainly puts things in a different light. If anyone had a right to be impatient, it's God, not us. And yet he suffers long with us. He is patient with us in our prayers and life. The real goal of prayer, then, is not just to get things from God, but also to unite us with God, his love, and his will. He is what we are really seeking in prayer, and he is the greatest thing we need. He just happens to come so often through his gifts. If we ask for God to give himself to us as well as his gifts, we will never be disappointed in prayer, and we will not lose heart in them. So go ahead and ask God for the desires of your heart, but do not lose heart by putting your will above God's. And above all else, seek God first in your prayers, and all these things shall be added unto you.
This has been a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.